This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome, everybody, from around the world to Baseball Outside the Box, where we interview baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. We've got some great interviews for you on the show. So don't forget, I'm your host, Pete Caliendo of Baseball Outside the Box. We're currently shooting the show from the beautiful country of Italy in that fantastic city of Rome. And this is a place where I grew up. From 3 years old to six, I lived with my grandparents in Rome. My first language was Italian. Thank goodness my parents sent me here to live with my grandparents. My parents were awesome. I want to thank them for that. Because of that, I was able to speak a couple languages and actually use Italian to kind of catapult my career all over the world. So it's really helped me out a lot. Don't forget, we are on Twitter. Follow us. We follow you back. It's that simple. Don't follow us. We don't follow you. So make sure you follow us, because you're going to receive a lot of great tips, a lot of great videos, instructional stuff. You can ask us questions. We're at Baseball Out. Again, that Twitter, at Baseball Out. The Twitter just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Before we start, we also want to tell you, remind you a little bit about the website, baseballoutsidethebox.com. If you're a new listener, thank you for joining. We hope you stay on for a long time. And if you are a new listener, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com. Click on you'll see the logos there at Stitcher, and you have the iTunes logo. If you click those on, you can join the show. Now, we send you updates all the time on when the new shows come up, and that's a great way to keep up with it. Remember, podcasts are awesome because you can go back and listen to all kinds of shows from the past. I know I do that all the time. Actually, I listen to my podcast when I'm walking my dogs for a half hour in the morning, half hour in the afternoon, when I'm working out for an hour. It's podcast education all the way. Love learning, and hope you're a life learner. That's what the show's all about. That's why we want to bring you some of the most creative minds in the game of baseball that make you think and make you want to learn every day. And that's something that's important if we're going to grow the sport. That's to educate our coaches all over the world. So now let me tell you about the show. It is unique here from Rome. We're going to go. It's a gem of a show. We're going back into the archives of an interview I did with a very good friend of mine, a childhood friend, actually. We grew up together, 9 years old, lived next to each other in the beautiful city of Elmwood Park on the border of Chicago. That's when we first met. We kind of went two opposite ways, kept in touch all the time, hung out all the time. Kenny went to hockey, I went to baseball, but we always kept in touch and still do talk about the two sports, and we learn from each other, and it's really a lot of fun. Kenny McCutcheon, I'm going to tell you about him, but before I do, we also got a Facebook page, facebook.com/baseballoutsidethebox. Get a lot of info there, tips, videos, and also photos of the show. Now, let me tell you about the interview. It was one that I really enjoyed. Ken McCutcheon had a hockey show, a very good one, before he took on his full-time job with the Columbus Blue Jackets, the NHL team. He's one of the coaches there currently. I believe he's in his third year. At that time, when we did the show, we had a lot of fun. It was unique because we talked about cross-training between hockey and baseball, and then we also talked about our careers. I think that's going to help a lot of coaches understand how we got where we are today. Ken, he trained professionals all over the world. He's got some great drills. He's got some great setups on how to run practices. And what's unique is that you can look at how they run hockey practices, how they set up their drills. And Ken's one of the most innovative coaches I've ever been around. He's one of the best I've ever been around. That's why you can learn from each other, okay? His story is fascinating. Now, we're going to have Kenny on the next show. I'm going to be interviewing Ken, so that's going to be a lot of fun. So I get to pick his brain about hockey and how we can use hockey to learn, to teach the game of, increase our development in the game of baseball. And I'll tell you the story about Ken even more then. But for right now, he grew up basically teaching himself how to skate. He went on later on and opened a hockey school. The ice company always sold out. I used to go there to watch him work with the kids and also sometimes give a few talks. He was fortunate enough to be with the Blackhawks for many years. He started off as a stick boy and then went on to assistant trainer. So, you know, I had a great background and learned a lot from professionals in the game. And as he got older, he got better and he got smarter and he got more innovative. And guess who called USA Hockey, the women's Olympic coach, you know, Olympic team. They actually won the silver medal in Sochi, Russia. Kenny was on that coaching staff. And now a great story of a guy who never played high school, college, or professional hockey, yet did two incredible things that I know of. I'm sure he did a lot more in the sport of hockey. One, which is an interesting one, we'll talk to him about it, and I'm sure he'll tell you a lot better story than I'm about to tell you. But, you know, he during the strike in hockey, the Chicago Blackhawks captain, Jonathan Toews, actually called him on the phone. And Kenny thought it was a joke. I think he thought it was me telling him this. But he basically asked him to come train the Hawks during the strike because the coaches couldn't do it. They heard about hockey, you know, about Kenny and his training, and they wanted him to train. So he was able to train the Hawks for six straight weeks during the strike by himself. And I can tell you this, and I'm sure he's going to tell you, Jonathan Toews told him it's some of the funnest practices that he's ever been to. And the second thing is, he's now in his third year as the assistant coach for the NHL team, the Columbus Blue Jackets. So you know this is going to be a great, great story. And also, we're going to have some fun with the interviews. One, this interview you're about to hear, your host, Pete Caliendo, being interviewed a few years ago by my childhood friend, Ken McCutted, host of the radio show Inside the Crease. So sit back, enjoy it, and we'll be back at the end of the interview.
From the local youth hockey rink to the ultimate stage of professional ice hockey arenas, you are on the air with In the Crease and your host, Kenny McCutton, professional ice hockey skating and skills coach, bringing you into the arena and into the world of ice hockey. Brought to you by Coco 5, hydration and performance powered by all-natural coconut water and Garden Fresh Market, the world's best produce delivered fresh to their stores 7 days a week. And now, In the Crease. With your host, Kenny McCutton.
You are on the air and in the crease with your host, Kenny McCutton. I am a professional skating and skills coach from youth-level hockey throughout North America to the National Hockey League. Tonight's show is about youth-level and minor league development with the game of hockey and baseball. My guest is longtime friend Peter Caliendo, who is the president of Caliendo Sports International. Welcome to In the Crease, Pete.
Thanks, Kenny. Great to be here, man.
You and I have got a pretty unique story growing up since we were kids, one house apart. You a baseball player, me a hockey player. We kind of fed off one another throughout our whole life.
Absolutely. I still remember the day when we met and you were on top of the roof. I don't know what you were doing up there, but you were up there.
Shooting pucks, possibly.
Well, that came next. That's when you set me up with your brother as a goaltender. In the basement, you know, taking shots. You knew baseball players had great gloves, so.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of us growing up, we love sport. I love baseball myself, and I think you liked hockey. I always tell people that I would shoot pucks at you, and you would throw balls to me.
Absolutely.
So it complemented one another. Pete, you started teaching at a very early age with Mickey Owen. What age, 15?
Yeah, I started as a student at 15 and then became a counselor at 16. At 17, they asked me to be an assistant coach, and that's where pretty much my coaching career began.
And how many years there?
Boy, I was there at Mickey Owen about 10 years.
Did you know Mickey Owen?
You know what? I met him. He was a sheriff in Greene County. And then later on, I actually got a ticket going to Kansas City to watch a Kansas City game. And I told the sheriff, or the police officer, I said, you know, I work at Mickey Owen Baseball School. He said, that's great. I know Mickey, you know, and he gave my son a scholarship. So I thought, oh, well, that'd be great. He's going to give me a ticket.
Still gave you the ticket.
Oh, he gave me the ticket. So I got the chance to meet Mickey, definitely.
Pete, starting at that age, at 15, 16, 17, whether you're shagging balls or pushing pucks when it comes to hockey, it's such a great start for so many young kids. And if they love the game, they're going to stay with it, possibly to be a teacher.
Absolutely. I mean, you know what? I started at Mickey Owen. That's what really gave me my coaching start. And, you know, playing 100 games, umpiring, learning the game from some of the best instructors. So the game could do a lot of things for you, not just playing-wise.
I have a line, to teach is to touch a life forever.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, we leave an impact.
We do. And you know, and if we're training coaches or we're training players, you know, that impact can come back 20 years later. You know, you'll hear about it. You may not hear about it right away, but 20, 25 years later, you hear about a young man who's done something and you know, you've possibly, you know, you've been influential.
I still have guys on staff with Ice Company, with my academies and schools, that started chasing pucks and organizing lines, and we're chasing, we're gophers basically. And today they're my top guys. Now they're 30, 35 years old with a family, a career, but they still want to be able to go back and teach.
Absolutely. You know, and when you start that young, I think nowadays that's something that really doesn't happen as often. You know, you've got to start at the bottom. You got to work your way up so you learn all the different aspects of that sport.
I agree. And if they want to stick at it long enough, they will. And that's what you recognize as a director, whether or not to keep that young coach around.
Well, you probably, you know, you'd be a great testament to that. I mean, if you stick long enough in something you have passion with and you love, something good is going to happen. But if you just, you know, give it a shot for a year and never, you know, continue, then it's not going to happen for you.
Yeah, I've never brought on younger coaches that I had to know their background. I had to know their parents. I had to know what kind of school grades they were getting in order for me to hire them.
You know, it's like scouting a player.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you scout a player, you got to know everything about their family, their background, everything you just talked about. I agree 100%.
Pete, tell me about Caliendo Sports International. What does that encompass?
You know what? Basically, two things. I give young men and women, actually, in all sports, an opportunity to experience international baseball. You know, a lot of times you don't get a chance to make your national team. But if you get a chance to travel somewhere around the world or compete in a sport, you see the aspect of representing your country. You know, it's a cultural experience for players. And I also travel around the world to be able to teach coaches on how to teach young players the proper way to play the game.
Which, on the hockey side, I'll speak for the hockey side, we've got to get into that a little bit more. If we're not training coaches the right way, we're not going to be training kids the right way.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And I know especially in baseball, the foundation of sport is your coaches. I think in any sport, if you have quality coaches, you're going to have quality players. Not only are you going to have good players, but you're going to keep players in the game longer. And I think that's, you know, now you got fans.
Mm-hmm. Pete, I want to talk about you're talking about working internationally. Your experience is off the charts. You've been, and name a few places that you've been that I don't mention. The Dominican Republic, Belgium, Holland, Australia, Japan, China, Puerto Rico, Canada. Am I missing a few?
Cuba. Cuba might be one of the highlights.
Let's talk about Cuba.
Yeah, Cuba was outstanding. Great baseball, very organized, great talent. I think when Cuba opens up, which is going to be a little bit like Japan, where players are going to have to, you know, be bought out by the teams, you're going to see an influx. Right now, there's about 40% of major minor league players in baseball that are foreign players. You're going to see that increase a lot when Cuba opens.
Well, the relationship has to be getting better because it is politically already.
Oh, it is better. There's no doubt it's better, but the talent level that's there.
What's making them so good?
You know what? Their athletic bodies, the type of people they are. Yeah, and they play every day. They play all the time. They're also pretty organized. They got some pretty good coaching. So you see them, they're a little bit more mature when they get to the major league level.
And that's their major sport. Probably that and soccer.
Oh, by far. Baseball's their sport. Baseball's a sport that's going to get them off the island.
I have to visit Cuba someday just for the food. I've read it in travel leisure magazines that
unbelievable.
But I guess it's like being back in the late 60s.
It is. You know, the cars are in mint condition. Unbelievable. I don't know how they keep the cars in mint condition. But just to be in Havana as an American, you just ask yourself, you know, what am I doing here? I can't believe I'm here. What an unbelievable place. You go to Old Havana, and the people are just so friendly. I mean, I've been over friends' homes where they offered you, you know, food, which you knew they couldn't afford, and you wanted to offer money to help them. They wouldn't take the money. You know, just great people.
Do you think it's where the training is going for the younger players in Cuba today? It might be a way out for them, too, meaning with these relationships getting better between Cuba and the States and Cuba and the world, that these kids will have just a better chance of moving on to the big leagues.
Absolutely. And you're going to see that they're more mature, too, because they're developed a little bit better. Their instincts are there. You know, nowadays players are trained on what to do all the time. You know, they're told what to do, how to pitch, what pitch to throw, when to run. The Cubans allow them to play the game. It's kind of like when you and I grew up, we just went to the park and it just played, right? And our instincts developed because of that.
And I try to tell kids that all the time, just go out and play ball hockey. Get on the street and play street hockey.
Yeah, you don't see enough of that now.
And the same thing with baseball diamonds being a little bit empty, too.
And that's why the kids you see nowadays, they don't have those instincts that we had when we played the game.
I just think, coming from a coach's standpoint, I just think things are just too organized today at times. And we're part of the problem with that. I mean, because we're specializing in teaching. But We just played. Your parents would let you go for 8 hours. We'd play fast pitch against the wall for 8 hours and then come home for dinner.
Yeah, you don't see it anymore. Now you travel around, you look at the parks, they're all empty, you know, during the day. If it's not organized, then you're right. We are a little bit of the problem. But, you know, through coaches' education, we're trying to stress to the coaches that let the kids play the game a little bit. Let them make mistakes. Let them fail because they learn from that. The more they can do that, the better athletes we're going to have.
Yeah, the hockey rinks were empty there for a while, too, until the Blackhawks started winning the Stanley Cup. And the Wolves have helped in the last 20 years, too, in a big way. But a lot of rinks were having problems with at the grassroots level, growing the game of hockey.
Which you know, hockey, I always found that interesting because, you know, it's a fast-paced moving game. And when you run in a practice, I've watched you, you know, with young kids, I watch you with the Hawks, you know, everything's always moving. Something's always happening. You know, in baseball, when you're training young players, we don't have that. We have to create it. You know, and hockey kind of creates that.
I made fun of your sport on a documentary that I did a year ago about what would you rather do, skate or just stand at third base and catch some sun?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd rather skate.
But I know you've always been impressed with the speed of the game of hockey. You've actually came to me about, hey, how can we translate some of these drills into the sport of baseball? And we've had fun talking about
absolutely
that.
You know, I've picked your brain and I've learned a lot from it, and I've translated it into baseball. I've also taken a lot of video watching you doing a lot of drills, and because I think, you know, baseball players need the cross train, and that cross training is going to help the athletic development.
And I think kids have to play a variety of sports instead of just always specializing, especially when you're 10 and younger.
Absolutely.
Just to hone in on that one sport 7 days a week for 10 months, 11 months, I don't know if it's the right way.
You know what, Kenny? Studies have shown that it's incorrect to allow a young man to train only in one sport until about 10 years old. Kids need to play more sports. More importantly, especially if you're going to play baseball. If you're only playing baseball, your athletic development's not going to develop, so your skill level's going to be lowered when you get older. So it's important that young kids play multiple sports at a young age.
I agree, and you're just going to be a well-rounded athlete by doing it all. The best athletes that we ever came across played many sports.
Most of the guys I played with in baseball were hockey players.
Is that right?
Yeah, they can hit better. I worked all day on hitting. They just showed up and hit.
We will be returning to In the Crease after these messages. Kenny McCutton. This part of our program is brought to you by a wonderful hydration drink called Coco 5. All natural coconut water developed by a team of professional NHL sports medicine experts. Coco 5 is your healthy hydration drink alternative. My guest for tonight is Pete Caliendo, a respected worldwide baseball coach, discussing baseball development. Pete, tell me a little bit about the book that you wrote for youth level players. And I believe it was about youth-level drills, correct?
It was. Human Kinetics came to me and wanted to develop a book where, you know, young coaches could have a lot of drills because that's what makes, you know, practice a lot of fun. So I sat down, never wrote a book before, you know, and have multiple languages, a little tough sometimes because I forget the words. But you got great graphic people, you got great editors, you know, and they helped me put together a pretty good book of 100 drills.
So it's not only for the coach, it's also for a player?
Players can look at it, but it's predominantly coaches, volunteer coaches.
Will a younger player understand it?
Absolutely.
See, that's big.
Absolutely.
I've been asked to author a few drill books and at the highest level with American Hockey League and NHL players, and really for the coaching staff themselves. I just haven't done it.
Yeah, I've told you 100 times that you should be doing that. But, you know, and I did it because of the fact that, again, we go back to volunteer coaches. That's the foundation of our sport. The large percentage of players playing the game are coached by volunteers. They're well-intended people. They mean well, but they need to be educated. They need help because if they don't run practices well, they don't develop players properly, the kids aren't going to go on. They're not going to stay in the game.
You think we're giving a pass to too many coaches, meaning once we credential them and we let them go because they're certified at a certain level, obviously you want that coach to have their own character and the way they coach and the way they lead. But I find in hockey, There's too many coaches that get a long leash.
Oh, no doubt about it. Coaches need to be held accountable. Whether you're a volunteer or not, you know, it's not an excuse. If you're going to volunteer, do it right. And I think most of them want to. I just think it takes leadership. And if you look at countries like Canada and Australia, they have mandatory coaches education. You have to be, you have to go through a certification program, but they watch you coach practices and they judge you on how you're doing, and they help you out.
What Canadian wants to play baseball?
Isn't it crazy? And they're very good at it.
No, I know that. Talk about their trips.
They're not stupid. They know. They got all these hockey players. They're great athletes. Let's turn them into baseball players.
Well, the eye and hand coordination.
Absolutely. And a lot of skills are very similar. And Canada has, you know, Canada's taken, and I don't know the hockey aspect of it very well, but I know that hockey has a great coaches educational program. Canada's taken that program and placed it into baseball. And that's really developed a lot of their athletes. Look at how many guys have made it to the major leagues.
Okay. What are the Canadian amateur leagues like?
Canadian amateur leagues are very good. And, again, they're very good because of their coaches' educational program. I have a chance. I go to Vancouver every year and we do 15 seminars in like 10, 15 days.
Not a bad place to go.
Beautiful place. And we not only educate the coaches, but what they do is every city brings together players, coaches, and parents. And we educate all of them all at once. They understand the game, how to train, how you're supposed to make it fun, and so on.
Are they putting a lot of money into their program?
They are. And again, back in the coaches' education. They feel that coaches' education is the foundation of their sport, and I agree with them. And I think we need to look at that in the United States because in baseball we don't have that, and it's not standardized.
When I've talked to past hockey players going back in their life and during their childhood days, a lot of pros loved playing baseball. Baseball was always big. I mean, I'm talking 50, 60, 70 years in Canada.
Yeah, because they're allowed to play, right? It wasn't organized 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Now that it's so organized, there's players sometimes that, you know, feel like, you know, it's just not fun, you know, and we need to turn back to the aspects of when the game was fun so that way kids can learn faster.
I mean, I did a show on Eddie Shore, and Eddie Shore would be like 115, 120 years old today. While he was a pro hockey player, he was playing like in an industrial team of baseball, but it was considered almost pro baseball.
I did hear that interview.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah. I know you've have always been impressed with the Japanese training. You've been over there. Every time you and I meet and we talk about development, tell me what the Japanese are doing differently.
You know what? The Japanese is pretty simple. They just do it a lot. They're very smart. They're very technical. They're very fundamental, and they just do it over and over and over where they master the particular skill, and then it transfers into the game because now they don't have to think. You know, we have to tell ourselves, there's a man on first, ball's hit to my left, what am I going to do? Ball's hit to my right, what am I going to do? The Japanese don't have to tell themselves anything. They've done it so many times over and over that it becomes an instinct, and that's why they're so good.
I've worked with a few players that have gone over to Japan after their playing days here in North America. They said the pro players over there in the Japanese leagues do not like making mistakes.
Oh, they hate it.
They have a tough time
hate it.
When they make a mistake.
And once they make that mistake, they will practice that mistake to make it right over and over and over. One time, a good friend of mine, Tom House, gave a Japanese young man a drill. Told me he needed to do it 1,000 times. He meant over a week period. He did it that night. Came back, looked perfect.
That's like me with my push-ups and sit-ups.
Yeah, I can tell. You're looking good.
No. That's called muscle memory.
Absolutely. And I remember, and I think I mentioned this to you, you were in Sochi for the games. The Japanese team was there, Japanese hockey
Correct.
Team. I watched them on TV. You know, they didn't win, but you can tell that they were getting pretty good. And mark my words, eventually they will be very good at hockey.
I agree. And the Japanese team, this is the women's team you're talking about.
Yes.
Because I was involved with the national program for the women. They were being led by two Canadian coaches, a male and a female. And I'll never forget this, Pete. They were just so happy to be at the games. They competed. They were decent. They got beat bad at times by Canada and by the U.S. But one of the most impressive things I've seen in sport is when the Olympic Games were over for them. They took off their helmets, and the women went to different parts of the ice surface, and they bowed.
Yes.
Bowed to the ice rink.
Yeah.
Because it meant so much to them. They would kiss the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's not passion.
No, they're by far the most passionate people about the game. It's not. It's a religion to them, basically.
Yeah.
If you go to their high school championships, their high school championships has 20,000 to 40,000 people in a two-week span, four games a day, watching high school championship baseball. By far the most passionate people you'd ever meet.
I saw them play, the Japanese women play three games live because I was there scouting for all the games. And when they scored a goal, Pete, and they didn't score many, but when they scored a goal, you would swear that they won the gold medal.
Absolutely.
That's how big it was for them.
Absolutely. If you looked, there was a series on Ichiro. Ichiro was on MLB Network, and one of his questions to the interviewer was, I don't understand why American players throw their bats, throw their helmets, and disrespect their equipment.
Mm.
Isn't that incredible? They will never throw their bat, never throw their helmet. They'll place it on the ground. They're very superstitious, but they're very respectful of the game, and it's an honor for them to play the game.
Pete, in your opinion, what country is turning out the best ball players right now?
Well, I'd have to say, you know, obviously you've got your Latin countries, Latin America, you've got the Dominicans. There's a lot of players coming out of there. I think a third of the draft is Dominican players, Latin America. But Cuba, you're going to see as one of the top countries coming out once it opens up more.
I think it comes down to monies, too. What's being fed into the programs? I mean, there'll be a lot of catch-up time very quickly if money and resources are put into the sport.
Well, that's why you're seeing Major League Baseball go all over the world now. I mean, now they want to get into Cuba as quick as possible. China, you know, 1.some billion people, Major League Baseball has been pouring a lot of money into China, hoping to have that first player that makes it, you know, to the major leagues, just like Yao Ming made it in basketball.
Pete, you and I are involved heavily at the grassroots level, which we've never forgotten throughout all the levels that we've reached with our sport. It means so much to me. Like, for instance, on a Sunday morning, I'm still holding Susie's hand and little Johnny's hand for Learn to Skate. Is USA Baseball doing enough at the grassroots level to keep it going?
You know what? They have. They've really developed at the grassroots level. One of the areas they're looking at right now is coaches' education. That's something that has to be looked at. I believe they're looking at it with Major League Baseball. It's going to take the governing body of the sport to get a coaches' educational program and Major League Baseball. It's going to take some strong-willed people to do that. And USA Baseball is trying to do that right now. And they're fighting an uphill battle because, remember, a lot of national organizations started before USA Baseball. You know, USA Baseball came later as the governing body, so it's taken a little time.
I'm finding an awful lot of past NHL players are now getting involved heavily at the youth level, and it's changing the game for the better for hockey. Is that happening in baseball?
Happening in baseball also. You're seeing more and more former players, become national team coaches. You're seeing them get involved with the national team program. You're seeing that in a lot of countries, too, in the Dominican, and Venezuela, in some areas, you know, where they need the funding, because a lot of these major league players have the money to help their own countries, and they should go back and help their countries.
I think it's great. I was just in Notre Dame a couple of weeks ago working, and there was a past Buffalo Sabre, played 12 years on the ice with the kids, and he was so into it, the kids recognized that. I think hockey's got to see a little bit more of that. And when they give back like that, it's phenomenal.
I agree. And you know what? But if they're going to get into coaching, I think major league people need to understand what coaching's all about and need to get some training.
I agree with you. We will be back with more hockey and baseball with Pete Caliendo and your host, Kenny McCutton, in just a few minutes.
It's become a summer tradition. And on July 18th, the tradition continues. It's Rockin' for the Troops 2015 with Gary Sinise and the Lieutenant Dan Band.
Let's rock for the troops tonight, right? Are we rocking for the troops?
At Contini Park in Wheatland.
Everybody clap your hands, come on!
Get your tickets before they're gone. Stop by Jewel Osco stores in Wheaton, Naperville, or Bolingbrook, or visit 560theanswer.com and search for the keyword, Rockin'.
Fox News Radio. I'm Steve Rappaport. Hundreds of worshippers packing a black church in South Carolina where 9 people were murdered last week.
For those who are still living in the margin of life, those who are less fortunate than ourselves, that we stay on the battlefield until there is no more fight to be fought.
Acting Pastor Norval Goff, suspected gunman Dylan Roof remains in custody. Another victory on the green.
Jordan Spieth has won the U.S. Open.
The call on Fox Sports, 21-year-old Jordan Spieth winning his second straight major title.
I got a nice little bounce off the side, and 2 putts later, I didn't think it was good enough. But, man, I couldn't be more happy right now.
Spieth becomes the youngest U.S. Open champion in more than 90 years. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
I'm Maria Arnold with your look at traffic on the inbound Dan Ryan. Just past 83rd Street, there's a rollover crash blocking all lanes. Delays are building from 95th Street. On the outbound Dan Ryan, report of an accident at 79th. IDOT crews headed to the scene. The Edens and Kennedy are now clear in both directions. Outbound on the Eisenhower, the exit to California is blocked with an accident. Emergency crews are on the scene. Inbound side of the Ike is tied from Racine to the Circle. It's 19 minutes to downtown from Mannheim. The inbound Stevenson exit to the inbound Dan Ryan is heavy. As I mentioned, the inbound Dan Ryan is shut down past 83rd Street with a crash. And on the outbound side of the Ryan, a bad accident at 79th. Northbound Lakeshore Drive has cleared up through Grant Park. Chicago weather currently 79 degrees and partly cloudy. Overnight, the low 70. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
Most grocery stores lack that special something. So often you're disappointed for many reasons. High prices, no selection. Since when has going to the grocery store become displeasing? At Garden Fresh Market, you'll be pleasantly surprised all over again with your grocery shopping experience. From hand-picked produce and on-site butchers to premium seafood and popular brand named fare. At Garden Fresh Market, you'll get the best selection of every product you need. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Find a store near you at GardenFreshMarket.com.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
You've been hearing about Garden Fresh Market and their huge variety of fresh produce, but you'll be pleased to know that you can find all of your favorite brand name products too. Don't worry about getting the most for your money anymore. The value at Garden Fresh Market has changed the way Chicagoland grocery shops. At deli, choice meats, fresh fish, there's something for the whole family to enjoy with prices that...
Crease Hockey Radio here on AM 560 The Answer. I'm your host, Kenny McCudden, with my guest, Pete Caliendo. We have shifted gears a bit tonight, comparing the development world of baseball and hockey. And, Pete, I did a show a couple of months ago specializing in sports. It was with a professor from George Washington University, wrote a book, Until It Hurts. And he really feels that we're doing some wrong things in this country when it comes to developing younger players. Again, going back to these kids specializing only in their sport. What's your thoughts?
You know what, I agree with them. I've worked with enough top specialists in the field to understand that, you know, kids nowadays, they need a break. They need to play multiple sports, but especially in baseball, because of the throwing arm, a lot of kids are pitching a lot, and they need, it's okay to be throwing and playing catch, but they need that break. You know, doctors are telling us, and the studies are showing us that, you know, if you're a young man 12 and under, you've got to have 2-3 months off from that baseball. You can't be throwing all the time. And if you're older, even if you're a high school player, you've got to have a couple months off, take a break.
I personally have these talented kids that come and see me privately with 3 or 4 kids in a group, but they may come off of a dry land session just an hour before where this guy really beat him up. And, you know, the guy's maybe one of the best in the business. And then they'll leave me and then go to a team practice. So basically, it's more than what a pro goes through.
Yeah, and I did some study on this because I was worried about the throwing arm. And it's interesting because hockey, even, you know, I'm guessing with the slap shot, once you hit the puck, there's a follow through like there is in throwing.
Yep.
Something has to slow down that,
that's interesting,
that finish.
Yeah.
Whether it's hitting or whether it's throwing a baseball, well, if your body's not developed to slow down the process, then your elbows and your joints are going to take over, and that's where the damage occurs.
I think the big thing right now is skating, that a lot of players are getting, kids are even getting it, labrum tears in their hip. I've got one myself, and The surgery is extensive. You're out for a while. But goaltenders, for instance, in the pro game are getting it, and kids are getting slight tears, whereas the pros are getting full tears. Tough injury to come back from.
Yeah, and that's if people understood that you're going to have an injury, now you got to rehab. Well, if you took care of that before and you were already developing your body correctly, you wouldn't have to go through that injury. And then if you give the young man a break, give him a couple months off, the body can recuperate. I think that's important. You're seeing a huge epidemic in baseball right now because of travel teams, high school baseball. You've got a combination of both. Kids are playing every day. They're not practicing, and they're not developing.
I had to explain to some parents the other day on a little conference call about my summer camp, and they were like, well, with that group of kids that are very talented at the AAA level, you only have them on the ice for an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon. There's a camp in Minnesota that the kids are skating 6 hours a day. My answer was, nobody can skate properly for 6 hours a day. That's when injury is going to come in. I said, I'm trying to treat them at the highest level for that 1 hour. Then they get a lot of downtime between classroom, between lunch. Then they have maybe a little dry land after that. Then they come back on for that other hour. But at least there's some downtime. Nobody can train for six straight hours.
You know what, Kenny, you bring up a great point, because that's why I believe in educating parents. I think parents need to go through some educational programs to understand what it takes for a young man to develop properly. I think once you educate them, now they get it. Now, if the person doesn't get it after that, well, then they're going to damage their young son, and I'm not sure they want to do that.
And I believe the other 3 hours that they may be talking about is just scrimmaging, and that's where bad habits creep in. There's no coaching. All they're doing is just blowing the whistle, so it's not really even a controlled practice.
And that's what happens in baseball, because they're playing games all the time, so they're not developing their skills. And all of a sudden, bad habits start to create, whether you're hitting or throwing or fielding. And once bad habits are created, that's when you're starting to get stressed on your joints, and that's how you occur injuries.
Pete, I've respected your career and everything you do. I mean, when you go onto your website and see everything from your DVDs to the book that you wrote to what you've done in your past. Tell us a little story about, I know you worked for the Italian American Sports Hall of Fame at one point, and you got to meet and be around one of the greatest ball players of all time, Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, that was a highlight, because I worked for George Randazzo, who was president of the Hall of Fame. And one Sunday, Joe and his attorney stopped by, because it was after the 56-game hitting streak. It was a big, you know, we developed a statue. There was a statue, and then he wanted to see the statue. And I was the only one working at the Hall of Fame. And next, you know, I'm showing Mr. DiMaggio around, and, you know, here's this, here's that. And I knew not to ask him for an autograph. George always told me, but I thought, you know what, picture's not going to hurt, right? So I asked him, you know, Mr. DiMaggio, you mind if we take a picture? You know, this was after about a half hour. And he never answered me, you know. So then another half hour goes by.
That's
it's unbelievable. Yep. And after another half hour, he says, hey, young man, you ready for that picture?
Wow.
Yeah, it was going to be on his time. But what a great person. And it was a little intimidating, but at the same time, Mickey Owen.
Played with him?
But while he was on deck, he was actually the catcher that missed the drop third strike, and Joe was on deck. It was in the World Series, I believe it was 1949.
Mm-hmm.
And I had said to Joe that I'd worked for Mickey Owen, and he said, oh, yeah. And so Joe tells me the story about what happened with Mickey. Well, it wasn't exactly the same story that Mickey had told me, but I didn't have the heart to say that. You know, I said, oh, Mr. DiMaggio, thanks for the story. But just one of the greatest experiences that I ever had, obviously, to be with a legend like DiMaggio.
One of the greatest stories I ever heard about Joe DiMaggio, he's with Marilyn Monroe, and Marilyn Monroe says, it came out of a taxi cab, Joe, do you hear all that applause? That's all for me. Isn't it one of the greatest things? And he goes, I know about it. Believe me, I get it too.
Yeah.
He was trying to one-up Marilyn Monroe.
You know that till he died, he delivered a rose to her grave.
I've heard that.
Every day till he died.
I've heard that. Great story, Pete.
Yeah.
Great story. Stay tuned for more of In the Crease Hockey Radio. After this timeout, we'll be right back. We are back on the ice and on the baseball diamond with In the Crease, your hockey radio show. This part of our program is brought to you by Garden Fresh Market. Choose from thousands of items that include your favorite name brands and the freshest hand-picked produce. Visit your local Garden Fresh Market and find out why Fresh is their middle name. They've got stores in Buffalo Grove, Mundelein, Naperville, Northbrook, and Round Lake Beach. My guest is Pete Caliendo, the president of Caliendo Sports International. Pete, tell me about your experience at the Olympic Summer Games.
I'll tell you what, there's nothing like it. You know, to be able to represent your country At that time, I was representing them for the International Baseball Federation, which means we govern the games, and we're the technical aspect of the game. So if there's something goes on, if there's a protest, we obviously take over and decide the protest. But to represent your country and to wear USA across your chest, I've always told young men, that's the reason I'm still involved with USA Baseball. It's the greatest thrill. And you know, you did it in Sochi at the Olympics and hockey, and there's nothing better to me.
Pete, I remember when I got the call, I was vacationing in California to join the women's national program. And when I got that call, basically I was on cloud nine even before my interview. After vacation, I had the interview in Boston, and I believe I got the job that afternoon. But
and what was the experience after that when you got there?
What do you mean by that?
Well, when you got, all of a sudden, now you're there.
Oh, no. First of all, I...
And you hear that music.
Yeah,
you know, the national anthem.
But I'm just talking about what led up to Sochi and being involved with the women's program for just under 3 years. Every time I stood on the ice with the women's festivals or camps, clinics, the red, white, and blue sweatsuit changed my career. I tell people that I started loving the game that much more again.
Yeah, I agree. And you're standing there and you're listening to the national anthem. You're getting goosebumps. You know, you're thinking the whole country is depending on you, you know, to do well.
And, Pete, it was honestly the most disappointing experience I've had also. We're up 2-0 with 5 minutes left, and we end up losing it. And that to me, I was speechless. I mean, I didn't even – it was very, very tough. I had Rob Stauber on, who was the goalie coach and the assistant coach of that team, on a couple of weeks ago. And Rob's right back on the saddle wanting to win a gold, and he's the assistant coach again for South Korea coming up in a few years. And I know his main goal and that group of women that will be hand-selected again from the past Olympics, they want to win that gold and make up for it.
Well, whether it's hockey, baseball, whatever sport, we all bleed red, white, and blue. I mean, we love our country. And I remember, and I think you remember this, I was on my way to Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You guys were up by a goal, and I can't remember how many minutes left. And I went to the bathroom. I was going to catch my flight. I went to the bathroom. I came back out, and it was tied.
Wow.
And then I got caught my flight, and I didn't hear about the ending until I landed. And then, you know what, it was heartbreaking because, one, I knew you, you know, but
yeah.
More importantly, you know, it was the U.S. team.
Yeah.
And I was heading to Vancouver. Now what did I have to do? I gave a talk in Vancouver. The first thing I do is congratulate the Canadians
yep.
for winning, you
yep.
know, and that was tough.
I did that with the parents because a group of Canadian parents were sitting below my box, and it took me about 4 or 5 minutes to recover, and I went along every parent and congratulated those parents.
Yeah, that's
because
classy.
That's what that experience is about. They were obviously wearing the jerseys of their daughters on the ice. I just felt I had to do it because it might, never get that chance ever again to go back to the Olympics. I had to do it.
And you know what? From a tough loss like that, I think the program becomes better because, like you said, now these guys, these gals are hungry. The
that's
coaches are hungry. You know, they're going to work that much harder because in any game, it doesn't matter if you're up or not, you know, till that buzzer rings at the end. You haven't won a game yet.
I've been asked, would I go back to the program again? I said, I'd love to. I'd be honored. And I would love to win a gold. I'm proud of my silver, something that they can't take away from you. You've won some medals yourself. Tell me about a few.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. We had the 16-year-old national team between 90 and 96. We were fortunate to win 3 golds, 3 silvers in the Pan Am Games. And very lucky, we've got probably around 24 players in the major leagues from that program. Again, as you know, as being a national team coach, it's a little easier to coach those type of players. They're very good athletes. It's more about managing and the mental aspect of the game, where I believe strongly the volunteers are our foundation, as I talked about earlier. And that's why I spend a lot of time with volunteer coaches, because
mm-hmm.
that's tough, coaching those young kids that, one, aren't developed yet,
mm-hmm.
you know, two, don't have the mental skills to understand what it takes to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's hard to fail at any level, but you let alone at a real young age. I think it takes good coaching to develop that.
Pete, you had the chance to do some coaching with the Schaumburg Flyers in your day. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was a great experience. I was actually director of baseball operations, was able to put the team together for them. We were very successful. We had a great GM. You know, Ron Kittle was our manager. I learned a lot from Ron because, boy, he's loose. He's easygoing. He's level. If you're winning by a lot or if you're losing by a lot, you never know where Ron. I thought that was an important aspect of learning the game. from him.
He's pretty powerful, too, with what he's trying to bring, too, right?
Absolutely. He's got a strong voice. He's a big man.
Yeah.
First of all, he's going to
opinionated, I mean.
Very
yeah.
opinionated.
Yeah.
But you know what? He was a little bit more futuristic because I think he was ahead of the game a little bit.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, that's great. As far as, what's he doing today?
He's with the White Sox. He's doing a lot of promotions with the Chicago White Sox. I see him all the time.
Like an ambassador?
Yeah, he walks around, talks to the people. You know, he's great with people. He goes to the suites, talks to all the corporate sponsors. A lot of the former White Sox players, Mr. Reinsdorf, is very loyal, and he brings a lot of players back to work for him.
It's like the Blackhawks having Tony Esposito, Bobby Hull,
Absolutely.
Stan Mikita, Dennis Savard, bringing them back as ambassadors where I think that's the smartest thing that can be done.
Yeah, they know your team. They know your organization. They have a love for that organization because they're treated well.
That was John McDonough's first move, was to bring back those guys with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Smart move.
Well, I think everybody thought, how can they bring a baseball man in for hockey? But it worked out with John McDonough.
And you're seeing the Cubs do that now. They're starting to bring back, former players.
No, that's great. I want to go back to John McDonough for a little bit in our next period.
Absolutely.
This has been In the Crease Hockey Radio with your host, Kenny McCudden. We will return to another period of play just in a few minutes. Times to speak baseball with professional coach Pete Caliendo. Pete, our last period there talking about John McDonough. How do you know him?
You know what? John was a great influence for the Pitch and Hit Club, a professional organization. We've had an annual dinner every year for baseball to honor people in the game for the last 69 years. And John, with the Chicago Cubs, was always instrumental in getting us players and coming to the dinner and supporting the dinner.
And how many years were you president there?
Boy, I think it was eight years president. Came back a year later to be president again, and now somebody else is president.
And you're honoring past players, famous players, and obviously they love being part of a night like that.
Oh, they love it. And a lot of times we did it when, White Sox weekend fest or Cubs fest was going on. So we'd have, Bo Jackson, or we'd have Carlos Zambrano or Derek Lee, Ozzie Guillen.
I'd like to go to one of those dinners. That'd be great.
Yeah, and the Cubs and White Sox are great supporters of it. And it's tough for them because, they're going through a caravan, for a week, and then they got to come to our dinner. But they're just great people, and they support it a lot.
Pete, Caliendo Sports International joined forces with Ear for Goals. It's to serve children with sports and hope. Tell me about it.
You know what? It's Warren Brule is the president, and he goes over to Africa and brings over books, educational equipment, all kinds of stuff. And, we just felt it was important that, we give back. And this was a way for us to give back by giving them equipment where they can take over overseas and give it to the kids that can't afford it.
I mean, it's huge. USA Hockey has that. It's called One Goal. They actually will drop off hundreds of sets of equipment for kids. And it just gets them started in a pre-hockey kind of atmosphere. And most of the time with hockey, those kids get hooked right away because of the game being fast.
And it's rewarding because we take teams to the Dominican and we tell our young men, bring equipment, old, used, whatever it is, bring it. And we let our kids give it to their kids. And talk about a rewarding thing for a young man that's 12 years old or 15 or 16 to be able to give somebody equipment that they can't afford. It's just priceless.
Yeah, and the affordability with hockey gear is ridiculous. I mean, a helmet's $150. So it's tough for a parent to fathom, should I go out and buy that helmet and try him at skating? And it may not work because there's $150 down the drain.
Yeah, and baseball's the same thing. Bats of $300 to $400. Equipment's getting out of hand. And you know what? What's neat about going to the Dominican, a lot of these kids play with just any equipment you give them, and they're pretty good. And when our kids see that, they start to understand it's not about the equipment. It's about the training that you how you develop.
Sometimes learning the hard way like that's the best way.
Oh, that's why we love going down there, because we think it's a great example for young men to see what what somebody with nothing can do, and you don't need a whole lot.
Pete, you were honored with the American Baseball Coaches Association Award in 2011. What did that mean to you?
Well, that was probably the highlight of my career, simply because the American Baseball Coaches Association is the largest coaches association in the country. There's 5,000 coaches that attend the national convention, and to be able to receive an award from them, I never expected it because I didn't feel I really accomplished a whole lot in the game. I don't have 1,000 wins or that kind of thing, and for them to be able to recognize you was thrilling.
Pete, do you like where the state of the game is today?
You know what? I like it at the major league level from the standpoint that it's an international game. There's a World Baseball Classic. I think there's some great aspects at the amateur level. I'm a little concerned about the young kids because of the fact that they're playing way too much now and they're not training enough. They're not taking time off.
Would you say that would be the major change that needs to be
done? There's no doubt about it. And I'm going to go back. I know we mentioned on the show several times, and hopefully your listeners really understand this. Coaches' education, volunteer coaches' education is extremely important. If we educate the coaches, we educate the parents, now people start to understand what it takes to develop kids properly, and then the game will grow up much better.
Pete, where can we find you?
You know what? You can go to coachingmadeeasy.com or baseballmadeeasy.net, or you can call me at 847-781-8039.
Pete, I appreciate you being with us, bringing us into your baseball world, so thank you for being here tonight.
This was awesome. Thank you for having me.
I want to thank Debbie Schreiner, my producer, for throwing some pitches tonight and also passing me that puck. I'm your host, Kenny McCudden. Contact me anytime at icecompanyhockey.net. In the Crease will return next Sunday night at 11 p.m. Keep your head up, and good night.
Welcome back to Baseball Outside the Box. That's the conclusion of our interview. That was your host, Pete Caliendo, being interviewed by Kenny McCudden, currently now the coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets, the NHL team. That was an interview I did 3 years ago. Enjoyed it, loved doing it, and actually loved listening to it because I learned a lot of things that learned while we did the show. So that was a lot of fun. And also, don't forget, we're going to be interviewing Ken McCudden on our next show. We're going to talk about cross-training between the sports. So I get to interview Ken. That's going to be a lot of fun on Baseball Outside the Box. Before we go, keep following us on Twitter at Baseball Out. Send us your emails, petercaliendo@icloud.com, and our Facebook page, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Don't forget, coaches, in order to continue to get better, you got to get smarter. To get smarter, you got to listen to great shows like Baseball Outside the Box and continue to be a life learner in the game of baseball. So remember, I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. We will see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.